If you want the notes, you can text REV notes to the number 94,000. You can see what I'm working off of up here. You might look at it and be like, how does his brain work? I don't know. The Lord bless me, though. It works. It makes sense to me. Other people might look at my notes and be like, I don't know what this is. Wow, this is what he gave me. Psalm 1. Would you stand up? Let's just honor him as we just read from his word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. There's things we should not do. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He chews on it. He eats it. That's what that word means. Do you eat the word? Do you wake up and do you eat the word? Do you crave the word? When you open up your phone in the morning, do you look at the Bible app or do you look at social media? What do you crave? What are you hungry for in the morning? Do you want real meat or do you want junk food? You can eat junk food. It tastes good for a minute, but it makes you fat. Wake up and open the word in the morning. He wants to make you lean and strong so that you can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. God, we just invite you in this moment. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just lead us, that you would just walk us through your word today and show us and reveal something to us that we needed. Lord, I ask that you just teach us how to stand, how to sit, how to walk in the ways that you've called us to. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Sit, stand, walk. I know in Psalm 1, it actually goes walk, stand, sit. If you were following and that bothers you, I don't know what to tell you. Sit, stand, walk just sounded better to me when I was telling Pastor Andrew the sermon series. I just liked it. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. If you want one today, we'll get you one right back out here. We got Bibles we give away. We got these action Bibles for kids. And I'll tell you what, they're good for adults too. Like it's like a comic book. So if you struggle to like, oh man, you're looking at like black and white lettering and you're like, I can't focus on this, but you like pictures, it's good. And you'll learn the stories. It's great. We have adults. I mean, I hear from adults all the time in our church who are like, I've learned a lot from the action Bible. I was like, good. Like that's awesome. Whatever it takes to get the word into you. So Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. They had seen it all. They were there in Egypt when God did the miracles, when he set the people free, when the plagues came. They saw God move in that season. But they still didn't have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive. I just pray today that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive what he wants to do and what he has done. Verse 5, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. 40 years they've been walking through the wilderness, and their clothes are still good and their sandals are still good. That's a miracle. Sometimes we just kind of skim right past that, but that's a miracle. I got a 5-year-old and his Nikes are shredded after like a month. Like they're falling apart. It's because when he scooters, he doesn't use the brake. And he's just going like 30 miles down a hill and he's just slamming his foot down. Like that's how he breaks. Shoot, like they're walking 40 years through the wilderness and people's sandals have not worn out. That's crazy. Just don't, when you read through scripture, don't just like blow past stuff. Slow down and just eat the word, right? Sometimes when you get a meal, what do you do? Actually, this is what your kids do. If you got kids, you know this. Sometimes your kids come in and they just eat really quick and then I got to go play. I got to go do this. And they don't even enjoy the food that was in front of them. Sometimes we get into the word and it's a meal and we just are kind of like, I just got to check it off the box. I just got to do this. Pastor said I need to eat. You know, I need to meditate on the word. I got to chew on the word. You're speed chewing, right? You're just like, you're reading a chapter so you can check it off. I did it. No. Take a breath. Slow down. Open the word. I don't care if you sit in one chapter, the same chapter, over and over for a month. That'll be better than you beating yourself up for an entire year being like, I got to finish my Bible in the year plan. I got to finish it. I got to check it off. That's religion. He wants you to read the whole thing, but guess what? You got your whole life. You got your whole life. If he just wants you to sit in Psalm chapter 1 for a season, sit there. There's some people, when we first started this church, I would do sermon series, whatever. I just do whatever the Lord tells me every week. We would do these sermon series. And most churches, if you go around to these different churches, it's like, hey, they got kind of this copy-paste format. We're doing this series, and we can't go longer than 4 weeks. And then I was in we were in 1 Corinthians for a whole year. I don't know, 52 weeks. Welcome to revival, baby. That's it. Whatever he tells us we're going to do, we're going to sit there. And we sat and we soaked in 1 Corinthians for a year. And my goodness, this church is blessed because of it. We're blessed. We're blessed. Sometimes you walk into a situation and guess what? You got a choice. You can choose to be blessed or you can choose to be bitter. That's the title of my message today. That's the title of the message right there. Too blessed to be bitter. Just write that down. That'll save you. That'll save you today. Remember that today. If you're taking notes, just write, I'm too blessed to be bitter. Satan, I'm too blessed to be bitter, baby. Get out of here. Get out of here. Rebuke him. You're too blessed. And some of you, you've been so focused on what you want to be bitter about. Oh, we're walking through the wilderness. Oh, it's been 30 years. It's been 35. It's been 40 years. You're blessed. You're blessed because even in the wilderness, your clothes haven't worn out. Your sandals are still going strong. You're healthy. You're fit. Yeah, you're going to be fit walking through the wilderness. You're not riding. You're not driving a Subaru. You're walking in the wilderness. You're blessed. Don't forget it. So sit and chew on the word this week. Sit and chew on a chapter this month. And stop beating yourself up because that's not you. That's not the Lord. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not beating up his people. He's not. He might convict you, but that's not beating you up. You're beating yourself up. You're letting the devil, you're letting the enemy get a voice inside your head, and he's beating you up over and over. You're not good enough. You're not doing enough. You're not faithful enough. You haven't read enough. You need to finish this Bible in a year plan, or else you failed this year. No. If you sit in Psalm 1 from now until next year, praise the Lord, you're going to be blessed. It'll change your life. And then next year you open up to Psalm 2, you'll be blessed again. Do a chapter a year. That's my Bible reading plan. He's good. Don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let the devil make you bitter today. Mm-mm. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness, he said. You've not eaten bread in verse 6. You've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. No bread or wine, that you may know that I am the Lord your God, because he is the bread and the wine. He is the bread and the wine. He said he's the bread of life. The wine was spilled out on the cross. He's the bread and the wine. You don't need the world's bread and wine. You don't need it. He showed him that during those 40 years. I'm the bread and I'm the wine, that you may know me. Verse 7, and when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle. They came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. If you want to prosper, keep the covenant. The word matters. Learn the word, know the word, chew on the word, and become obedient to the word. And as you do, as you begin to come into covenant with him and understand what his word says, you're going to notice prosperity follows. You're going to advance in life in areas and ways that you did not think were possible. Keep the words of the covenant. Verse 10, all of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, they all stand today before the Lord. From the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're a woodcutter, if you're a water drawer. It doesn't matter. Do you stand before the Lord and step into covenant with him today, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself. He's establishing you today. Some of you, you're stepping into covenant. Some of you, you're stepping into covenant for the first time today. He's going to establish you for himself, that he may be God to you. Just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations, their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman, family or tribe or heart that turns away from the Lord our God. There won't be one among us in this house. If you're planted in this house, there won't be one among us whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. There won't be bitterness in this house. If you came in bitter today, he's going to heal you. You're going to forgive today. You're going to release that person today. I don't care. It doesn't matter what that person did to you, because God wants to set you free today. When you hold on to anger and bitterness, forgiveness is not for that other person, it's for you. So if you got some bitterness today, he wants you to release that. You might be thinking, no, this is good. I need to hold on to it. This person, they need to feel how angry I am. They need to know. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to talk about it. No. That's just, it's killing you. It's giving the devil a foothold in your life. And some of you, you're in here and you're like, devil doesn't have a foothold in my life. No, he does. If you're holding on to bitterness and anger, he's got a foothold. And it's keeping you from hearing the voice of God. The Holy Spirit wants to speak today. He wants to move in this room. He wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to you today. I just want to pray for a minute. Hey, this might be you right now. You might need to release someone that you've been holding on to this anger and this bitterness. So if you need to say this prayer, just say this prayer today. Jesus, I come before you. Lord, I pray that you would bless whoever it is that you've been holding on to. Just say their name. Just say it. Just say it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this person today. And I release them. I forgive them for every offense, every hurt, everything they've ever done, and everything they ever will do. I just forgive them in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hold on to that. Hold on to that forgiveness. Hold on to that blessing. Don't let it have a root within you, so that there may not be among you, verse 18, man or woman or family or tribe, whose hearts turn away from the Lord our God. Verse 19, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. There's a blessing and there's a curse. If you hold on to bitterness, you're going to live a cursed life. You cannot live in bitterness and the blessing. You can't have both. I just feel so much resistance right now. I know. Somebody hurts you, okay? I've been hurt. But let me tell you something. If I was still holding on to it today, it would still be eating me up. It'd still be killing me. And I wouldn't be who God had called me to be. I wouldn't be who he anointed me to be. I realize right now the hurt that you're feeling, it's real. Lord Jesus, I just pray, minister to people right now, Lord, please. I feel this so strongly. There's somebody you feel like, no, you don't understand. And in your heart, this is you right now. This is you. You are hearing the words of this curse, but you're blessing yourself saying, I'm going to have peace. Even though I follow the dictates of my heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. But his word never fails. It never changes. If you'll look at his word today, how many times should I forgive? 7 times 70. Over and over. Just keep praying the blessing. Even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't want to, even though it feels kind of unnatural and awkward, and you're like, you don't understand what this person did to me. They hurt you. What they did was evil. What they did was wrong. What they did was unfair. It wasn't righteous. But God works all things together for the good of those who love him. If you love me, obey my commandments. How many times should I forgive? What did he command? 7 times 70. Until the day you die. It's a commandment. Don't hold on to bitterness because it'll keep you from the kingdom. Now I feel some releasing. You feel that? There's some releasing happening. Some of you got free. Some of you got free right there. Your physical body, it's a posture for what you want to receive. When you take a step of faith in the physical, in the natural, all of a sudden it will open you up in the spiritual. And so I know when you're in worship or when you're in church, there's sometimes you get in here and you kind of get closed up and you kind of do this number and you do this and you're just, what are you doing? You're trying to protect yourself. If you just begin to, go ahead, uncross your arms. Just set your hands in your laps. Put your hands straight up to the sky on your laps. What are you doing? You're putting yourself into a posture to receive. When you take a step of faith in the physical, he's going to move in the spiritual. So if you got yourself closed up right now, I'm just telling you, if you take a movement right here, nobody's going to notice. Nobody's looking. Don't look around, people. Stop looking at who had their arms crossed. No. I'm telling you, if you just open yourself up, all of a sudden, something is going to shift in the spiritual. And some of you are like, he's looking right at me. He knows it's me. I don't know. I'm just looking around. I'm looking around the room. And I know it because it's true of me. I know when I get into a position or a place where I'm kind of like, I don't really like this. I'm kind of uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, I kind of do this. It's a power move, right? I'm trying to power up. Look how tough I am.
Yeah, I work out. Like, look at these arms. You know, what are we doing? No. Like, we come into this place and we're trying to power up. No, no, no. Submit and lay your life down for him. In the name of Jesus, when you submit and lay your life down in the physical, something will shift in the spiritual. If you want that, receive it. If you don't want it, I can't force you to take it. I can't force you to take this medicine, but it's from him. His word is medicine to your soul. It will heal you. It will heal what's broken. So change it right now. Accept it in the name of Jesus. He loves you. Don't stay bitter. Don't stay in that place. The Lord would not spare him, verse 20. For when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him. Do you know every curse written in this book? Turn back. I'm not gonna read them all right now, but turn back to Deuteronomy 28. You'll begin to read the blessings and the curses. And when you begin to read those curses, guess what? You don't want those. You don't want those. Every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. You don't want that. I pray the fear of God would just enter in right now, that we would realize and understand, and that we would take him at his word. Every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. You got a choice today. You can live in the blessing or the curse. I want you to live blessed. Don't hold on to that bitterness anymore. There's hurts and wounds that happen when you're a kid. And the devil wants you to believe it's okay to hold on to that and to be angry, and that what they did, like it was evil. God hated it. God hated what happened to you. John, God hated what happened to you. I don't know who John is, but I just felt John's name pop up in my spirit. He hated that. He hurt for you. He wants to heal your heart today. If you would just invite him in, he wants to heal your heart. And so I'm sorry for what happened to you. He wants to heal you, though. He loves you. He loves you. Man, sorry. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just, he'll give you a word of knowledge or something for somebody. Deliver it when he gives it to you. This whole church is blessed. This whole church is gifted. This whole church walks in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when you walk in the Holy Spirit, the gifts become activated. There's people in this house that are gifted and activated. As you keep becoming sensitive to his Spirit, God is going to give you words. He's going to give you moments. He's going to give you something in moments where it's his Spirit moving and speaking. And it's going to help unlock something for somebody that they've been locked up for so long. And I just felt like somebody got released today. And so I just want you to know, you have been called. You're anointed by his Spirit. The same Spirit that resides in me is the same Spirit that resides in you. It's the same Spirit that resided in Jesus Christ. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's that same power. You walk in it. You walk in the anointing. You're full of his fire. You're full of it. He's given you something. What's up, brother? What do you need, man? I love you, man. I love you. Woo, I love you, bro. Thank you. Hey, I love you. Hey, he's doing a good work in you. He's doing a good work in your family. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. That's a holy fire right there, brother. Holy Spirit, fill this man afresh. Woo, I love you, brother. Woo, it's a Holy Ghost church. All right. My goodness. Hey, the Lord's just moving right now. He's setting people free. I don't care. I don't care if 100 people come into the room and 99 people think I'm weird, but one person heard the voice of the Lord today. The Spirit moved and set somebody free. I'm just going to be obedient to his voice. That's it. That's it. He wants the same for you. Stop caring what the world says. Stop caring what the world thinks. Stop caring that they're going to think you're weird. Oh, my church, I don't want to invite people. Like, we get kind of weird. No. This is what people are looking for. They're looking for the real thing. They're looking for his presence. Because they're so hungry and starved and thirsty because they've been going to these deserts that don't talk about who he is or what he's done or what he's still doing. We're just going to honor him. All year long, we're going to honor him. We're going to honor his presence. Because when you honor him, he moves and he works. This church is walking in the blessing and not the curse. Man, some of you following the notes are like, how's he going to finish on time? Joke's on you. I don't have a time. But I do like to respect and honor our people that serve in kids ministry. So I got a little bit of time I try to respect. And if you are called to work with kids and you know it and you're in this house and you haven't like signed up to serve yet, you need to get into that ministry. Because guess what? The same Holy Spirit moving up here is moving down there. And you got a gift and you got a call on your life, get down there and serve. It's once a month. Anybody can do anything once a month. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. Like, you can do anything. If it's just once a month, you can do it. Some of you are on the once a month workout plan and it's going fine. Like, it's all right. Some of you are on the once a month eating plan. Like, I eat good once a month. The other 29 days, I'm eating Chipotle, but whatever. Chipotle's kind of healthy. I mean, whatever. See, you can have fun in church too. It's all right. Some of you are here today. You don't like where you sit. You don't like where you stand. You don't like where you're walking. There's a bitterness growing inside of you, an anger and a resentment towards the Lord. You need to forgive the Lord today. And some of you are like, whoa, I can't forgive God. No. You can't, because guess what? He doesn't need to be forgiven. But you, forgiveness, who's forgiveness for? It's not for him. It's for you. And you have been holding on to this bitterness and anger towards the Lord for a long time because your life doesn't look the way you wanted it to look. It hasn't gone the way you wanted it to go. And some of you, you kind of got this image. You even got a vision or maybe a dream of what your life was going to look like. And here you are 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, and it doesn't look the way you wanted it to. And you're just kind of like, you haven't even admitted it to yourself, but you're bitter and angry towards the Lord. But you never thought you could say that because you never thought like that was appropriate, that I need to forgive God. No, let me tell you something. God is not up there being like, who are you to forgive? He knows forgiveness is not for him. He knows he's righteous. He knows. He knows he's done no wrong. He knows he's sinless. But if you keep holding on to it and don't deal with this anger and bitterness that you have towards the Lord and you keep kind of stuffing it down and denying it, no, I'm not mad at God. I'm not mad at God for this or for this or for this relationship or for this sickness or for this accident. I'm not mad at him. Yeah, yes, you are. Release it today. Release him today. Some of you, you're mad and angry for what happened to you as a kid. Release it today. Forgive God. Let it go. And then do it again tomorrow. And then do it again the next day. And as you keep saying the words, you have to say them out loud. You gotta say it out loud. Because bitterness and anger is a foothold for the devil. The devil can't hear your thoughts. The Lord can hear your thoughts. But what you're doing when you say it out loud is you're taking it in, you're taking your spiritual authority. And you're beginning to command these evil spirits that have had a foothold in your life through bitterness and anger, and you're beginning to command them to leave in the name of Jesus. That's what you're doing. He wants you to walk in authority. Proverbs 12:6. Go to Proverbs 12:6. I saw this the other day, and I said, this is for our people this week. It's at the very bottom if you're following my notes. And once again, you're like, he's really out of order. Don't care. Proverbs 12:6. The thoughts of the righteous are right. The thoughts of the righteous are right. How do I get right? How do I get righteous? Read the word. Find out what's righteous. Find out what's evil. Find out what's an abomination to the Lord. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood. That's a life of bitterness. That's a life of revenge right there. Some of you, you've been holding. You've been holding on to this bitterness, and you've been waiting. Oh, that person's going to get theirs. They're going to get theirs. Just wait till I post about what they did on social media. Just wait till I go and tell their new boyfriend or girlfriend what they did to me in our relationship, how they treated me. Oh, just wait till I start to tell people. No, no, no. You are lying in wait for blood. That's the words of the wicked. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright will deliver them. As you begin to speak what is righteous, as you begin to speak it out loud, you'll find deliverance. There's deliverance today. There's healing. There's freedom from what's been holding you. There's freedom from the bondage. But you got to say it out loud. Speak it. The devil, he flees at the name of Jesus. He flees. There you go. Yeah. Some of you just got free. Just all you got to do is, some of you are like, I don't want to be weird talking to myself. When I go to the gym, there's a track in the gym, and I put on my worship music, and I pray in the spirit, and I just walk around that whole track time after time. And I know people are looking at me, and they're like, is he just singing like some kind of rap song? No, man, I'm flowing in the spirit. Like, but I don't care. Stop caring what people think. But if you care a little bit, just you can kind of whisper it. Because even if you whisper the name of Jesus, the devil flees. Even if you whisper. But if you get alone in your car and you turn some worship music on and you start commanding the devil to leave in the name of Jesus and you start going hard, let me tell you something, it's going to change you. All of a sudden, you're going to start feeling like things that you didn't realize you could feel before, because walls are breaking, spiritual walls are breaking in your life this week. And you're going to walk in a new level of authority in the name of Jesus. I'm just seeing that, because you're too blessed to be bitter. You're not letting bitterness rule anymore. No, let's go. Let's go. You don't like this situation you're in, and there's a bitterness growing inside of you, an anger and a resentment towards God, because whatever situation you're in that the devil has convinced you, it's not good, it's bad, there's something better somewhere else. Doesn't matter if it's your spouse, your kids, your friends, you don't like your job, your boss, your coworkers, your in-laws, you keep thinking it's God's fault, he put you here, you deserve something better than this, that you deserve more, you believe you're entitled to it. You were entitled to death, but Jesus took that for you. That's what we were entitled to. Jesus set us free. We were entitled to death, but he paid that for us. Stop living a life of entitlement and start to realize that what he's given you is something he's entrusted you with. What you've been bitter about, he's entrusted you with. Will you cultivate it? Will you grow it? Will you pour into it? Will you realize that you've been blessed and that you're too blessed to be bitter? Too blessed to be bitter. It doesn't matter what you believe you're entitled to. What he has entrusted you with right here, right now, this week, if you can't steward this moment, this situation, these people, your family, then why would he trust you with more? You keep asking for more. You haven't even stewarded the one talent he's given you. You buried it, and you got bitter. Joseph, in Genesis 37, he had a dream. He had a dream, and he told his brothers. He said, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. If you're a younger brother, that's a dangerous dream to tell. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, you little punk? That's just the Alex Hall version. Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. Joseph knew what was coming.
God had given him the dream. He'd given him the vision. He had showed it to him. He saw his brothers and his father bowing down to him when he was a young child. David knew what was to come. David, when he was out as a shepherd boy, a young kid, he was anointed the next king of Israel. He knew what was coming. He'd been given a vision of it. These two young men in the Bible, they each saw the future that God had for them. But Joseph, he spent 22 years from the moment God gave him that dream to the moment his brothers put him in a pit, sold him into slavery, and from being a slave in Potiphar's house into a prison, he spent 22 years waiting, year after year, not seeing that dream, that vision come to fruition. David spent 15 years from the moment he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. He spent 15 years, many of those on the run from the current king, King Saul, who was trying to murder him, trying to kill him. He'd been anointed king, but he spent most of his time hiding in caves instead of a castle. In the spirit, David knew. He was the king. In the spirit, he knew something had shifted in Israel. He knew the authority had gone from Saul to him. But in the natural, he was a fugitive. Some of you, you feel like David today. You feel like things have shifted for you in the spiritual, but in the natural, you have not seen it come to fruition. You feel like you're the villain. You feel like you're the bad guy. You feel like you're the fugitive. You feel like you're on the run. You feel like you're in hiding. That's not who you are. That's not who God has called you to be. Because God has anointed you. In the spirit, you know the truth. You're his anointed. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're chosen. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty woman of God. But they just don't see it yet. And they might be trying to tear you down in rooms behind your back, but it's because they don't understand what's happened, what's shifted in the spiritual. They don't understand what's taken place. When you say yes to Jesus, there is something that will shift in the spiritual, and it may not come to fruition right away in the natural, but I'm telling you, if you'll stay planted in his word, if you'll stay planted in the place he's called you to, if you'll cultivate it, if you'll work the land, if you'll not grow bitter in those seasons living in the cave, if you'll not grow bitter in those seasons of darkness, if you'll not grow bitter longing for the castles and learn to love the cave, my goodness. He'll do a great work in you. Oh, he'll do a great work in you. I know it because I've lived in the cave. Some people might still think I'm living in a cave. They might look at this place from the outside when they drive down Blondo and be like, that's a cave. Maybe in the physical, but in the spiritual, we're living in the castle. We're living in the castle. There's a shift in your life that's about to happen. There's a shift that's about to happen. Some of you, he's given you a vision and a dream. And you might have $10 in your bank account, but in the spiritual, oh, no, no, no. He's raising you up. He's shifting things. I feel the Holy Spirit moving right now. He's moving right now. Hold on to it. Some of you are receiving this today. There's a shift occurring. There's a realignment happening in the kingdom right now. And those that you think, that you look at and you say, oh, they got the power, they got the money, they got the influence, God is taking it back from them and giving it to his people in this season. Will you steward right now what he's given you, even if it's just $10, even if it's just one child, even if it's no children and you want that, you want to be a mom, you want to be a dad, just steward whatever he's given you. Stay planted in his house. Yeah, would you stand up today, church? Let's stand up. Let's receive this today. Stay planted in this season and receive what he's got for you. Steward it in every season. They don't understand what's happened. They know something's different. They want you to stay bitter with them, but you're too blessed to stay bitter. So even in the pit, even in the prisons, even in the caves, keep serving him, keep loving him, keep stewarding what he's given you in this season. If
you want to put your hands out to receive, if you want to put your hands up to worship, do whatever you want in this moment. Do if he's calling you to do something in the physical, trust that something is shifting in the spiritual right now. Joseph and David, they stewarded the moment. They stewarded the people they were entrusted with. Joseph served and honored Potiphar the same way he served and honored the prisoners and the guards. The same way he served and honored Pharaoh when he was finally released and set out into the calling God had placed on his life. Will you serve the prisoners right now? Will you serve the people he's placed in your life that you think, no, I'm destined for more. No. This is what you're called to right now in this season. Will you serve them? Will you steward them? Will you love them the way Jesus has called you to? He can't give you more until you can handle this. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed from there, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. This is when Saul was hunting him down. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. That's who God brought to David. Distressed and in debt and discontented. And there's some of you today, you feel like that. God has brought you in here, and that's where you fall today. I'm distressed. I'm discontent. I'm in debt. You're not going to stay there. You're not going to stay in the cave forever. But steward this season. That's what David did. He spoke life into those men. They became the mighty men of David. They became warriors that won great battles. They became men and women of influence in his day, but they were the losers before that. They were the people that nobody wanted. And somebody spoke that over your life. Somebody said, nobody wants you. You can't do this. You're nothing. Somebody said that to you today. But I'm telling you, if you get planted in his house, if you get planted under the anointing of his Holy Spirit, no, he's going to raise you up. If you steward what he's given you, you'll become a mighty man and a mighty woman of God because you're too blessed to stay bitter. He'll raise you up out of the cave and into castles. He's going to use people in this room to change this city. This city will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, this city will never be the same. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. You have authority, and you're going to walk in it this week. Let's pray. And then let's worship hard. Let's worship really hard. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. We praise you.